Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Blue is on, and we are doing church a little different today. So Blue is our microphone here. He's what's called an omnidirectional microphone. Do you know what that means? All around, everywhere. You can hear everyone. I've got it set up so that we're streaming on here, so that the folks on the internet can hear what our discussion is, can hear all the questions that we have and things like that. Because today's service is going to be different. We're not doing worship today. I busted up my finger real bad. And, I smashed a table on my finger yesterday. And my kiddos are real out of it today. So I was hoping that today we could just do kind of a short service today. Shorter, anyway. And just kind of all stay together. And I know, Charlie, you're the youngest one here. But I hear you are pretty sharp. Annabelle mostly agrees to that. Let's pray real quick. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us all together in this room today. I know it's strange the way we're doing it today, but God, I believe you got a good word for us today and what you have for us. And I pray that you be with us in our discussion today. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, just a few quick announcements. We do have a youth convention coming up.
Maybe.
All right, so youth convention, November 22nd and 23rd. Definitely want to have some folks there. We do need to get everyone registered by November 7th. Women's ministry, meeting tonight?
Yes.
7 o'clock. All right, the Bear's Den Student and Event Center is our student center, our event center, and our after-school program. We had a pretty big day yesterday in there, and I'll tell you more about that here in a second. Christmas Mansions. Wow, that's popped up already. And you're like, well, how much is it? What's the details? No. This is a save the date. That's what this is. This is a save the date. Save the date. December 14th from 4 to 6 p.m. right here. All right? Divorce care starts up?
Tomorrow.
When does it start up?
Tomorrow.
6:30 p.m. right here. And I will have the chairs up by then.
Okay.
Yeah, folks online can't see it, but we've got a trinity of tables here and chairs around the tables, and sanctuary doesn't quite look like it normally does. So, anyway, distribution day is this Thursday, and we'll get all that adjusted out this week, too, so that it's all set up and ready to go. Baby bottle fundraiser. We actually have these in the entryway right now. You can grab up one of those baby bottles. Works. You know how you got your buddy barrel and you put change in it? It works kind of like that, but it's for all of us, and we can put our spare change in it and things like that. And I'm going to collect those up in the first Sunday of October and take the money down to the Pregnancy Support Center in Lebanon. So just to help them out. We even had some folks yesterday that came in for community days grab up some bottles. So I think that's great. If you want to follow along everything that's going on in the church, you can sign up for events. You can see what's going on our community calendar. You can make a request to use the building for parties or whatnot. And all that fun stuff. You can find that on our Church Center app. And I highly recommend it. If you don't have it already, check it out. It's a great place to be. And you can watch the live stream of the service right there, or all the recorded services that have happened. Pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tithes and offerings. Does anyone have anything for the bucket?
I'm broke.
Me too.
I feel broke today.
Weak.
So. I know. Let me get it on mine.
Where's Elizabeth when you need her?
I know, right? I need my Vanna. Well, thank you, Lord God, for the continued support of our church. Thank you for all that you're doing in this world and in our community, God. We thank you. Be with everyone wherever they are today. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, one more quick announcement. I will not be preaching next week. We have a guest speaker coming in next week. His name is Homer Purdy, and he's actually been here before a couple years ago. When I was out for my mom's funeral, he came here and did a message. I don't know if you guys remember him at all.
Just before we
before your time?
Here, yeah.
Okay.
Was the very beginning.
Yeah, it was very early, yeah. So so he's going to be here next Sunday. The reason being is I'm actually going in for surgery on Wednesday.
What'd you do?
He got old.
I got old. So it's nothing major or anything like that, nothing to be concerned about. I'm trying to be cognizant of the fact that I may not be 100% by next Sunday. So what?
What? You said, yeah, you're ancient.
Oh.
I say this with care.
You say this with care.
What's that make me? Huh?
Poor Rick.
And Steve.
And Steve. Yeah, you go they watch yourself.
They don't go day past 30. What do you want about?
Just you, you're
just me. I'm ancient. The old man, I guess. So, yeah. So I asked if we could get someone to come in and cover pulpit for us and stuff like that. So we'll do worship. We'll do all that fun stuff. I just didn't know. I didn't want to tax myself and trying to be. I want to always give you guys my best that I can give. And so I didn't feel like I could give you my best, possibly being on some very interesting medication. So.
But we'll be here.
But we'll be here. So. All right, you guys ready?
Absolutely.
We got all that. We got all that stuff out of the way. We're gonna go straight into the message, okay? So, let me explain how this is gonna work today. Obviously, today is a lot different. We have a central microphone that's here, and it's here for a reason, okay? Our church is still recovering from community days that happened yesterday. We had an unexpected event where a swimming pool exploded in the sanctuary. We got it dried up, but it did take until almost 10:30 to get everything dried up and cleaned up and all that fun stuff. Yeah. Word to the wise, don't try to carry a swimming pool.
We're bailing next year.
You remember when we did that sermon the other day and I was pouring water into the bucket, yes, into the bowl, and it spilled out? That was fine because it wasn't apparently that much water. That was a lot of water. And I'll be honest with you, we were carrying it. I had two other people helping me. So in theory, we should have been fine, right? But what ended up happening is the sides kind of gave way and it spilled out a little. And then someone lost their grip, and then it flopped down on the ground, and probably 3/4 of the water in the pool fell out. And I just looked at it and went, oh, what the heck? And I flipped the whole thing over.
Carpet cleaning.
Well, I was telling someone who was watching us, I said, look, if we're going to make a mistake, we're going to make it big time. So. Huh?
The poor Roomba.
The Roomba's fine. The Roomba didn't even do anything.
They cleaned it up.
So, yeah, we got it. We got in here with a shop vac to suck up most of the water, and we got in here with some baking soda to dry things up and things like that. I got in there with the scrub brush and scrubbing the carpet. My back hurts today. The vacuum. And we also got some carpet deodorizer, so it smells nice in here, you know?
It smells like the church.
It smells a little bit better than it did before, though, I think.
What best of them?
What's that?
What happened?
What happened? There was a pool that spilled over onto the water.
From the fishing game that we had here.
Yeah.
And it was 3/4 full, and then 3 people tried to carry it, and it folded like a little taco.
And your back hurts because you did it right. That's how you know you did it right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, it looks like you and Miss Leah have like matching glasses. From an angle.
Do we?
It looks like it.
And we're both wearing gray.
Yeah, y'all are twins.
I know. That's
all you're missing is a pair of dangly earrings.
My earlobes will get bigger, I think. No. Alright, so here's how this is going to work today. So I'm going to give a short message to kind of warm us up, and then we're going to do some discussion. I've got several questions I want to go through, and I want to get feedback from you guys. So kind of, have you ever seen or been a part of like a roundtable discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing that.
English class all over
It's English class all over again for you, isn't it?
Yes.
Except we're going to be talking about the Bible this morning. I will have the scripture up on the screen up there if you want to look up there. Or if you have your Bibles, you can have that out. I even brought a notebook just so I can write down stuff. So I, because my brain doesn't work all the time, especially when I'm tired. So, is there any questions?
Why didn't you just get a big table?
I don't have a big table. This is what we got. All right, let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about, we're in the series called The Advocate, a series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about the initial physical evidence speaking in tongues. Okay? This is Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 7 is going to be our key verses today. And we are a Pentecostal church, unashamed about that. And folks, if you don't know it, we believe in speaking in tongues. And we believe that it's a biblical thing. Because it's in there. So we're going to, I'm going to be actually drawing some more on what we've already talked about. You notice I didn't start off saying this is a standalone message, because honestly at this point, this one is not really a standalone message. I'm going to try to hit back into reviewing some things to make sure we get it all and we're able to be on the same page. But this is one of those topics that is a firebrand in the church. People around the table, people around the community will give you 400 different ideas of what they think about speaking in tongues. So, my goal today is to present the Bible. This is what the Bible says. And then we'll talk about it. Look, and my rule is this. Someone in this room may disagree with you. Okay? And that's okay. Alright? We don't get to judge people. That's God's job. We don't get to decide what's in the book. He already wrote it. Make sense? So, all right. Last week, I showed you this thing, and we went through who, what, where, when, and why, and I left how empty. And we're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, who was baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because we were in Acts chapter 2 last week. Who was baptized in the Holy Spirit? They. Because that's what it says right there. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. So who was baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
They were. Okay, what happened? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. You remember when we actually skipped around, we didn't do it in this order?
Yeah.
Where were they?
In one place.
They were in one place. Were they in multiple places?
No.
Together. Was some of them inside, some of them outside?
Cool.
No. So, they were all in one place. All right, next, we have when. And we talked about how the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate, and it's after salvation. Separate and subsequent. Separate and subsequent. So, separate meaning the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from your salvation, and it comes after salvation. All right. Next, we talked about why. Why do we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because we need empowering, guidance, and encouragement. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, you have to understand, is not directly about the Great Commission. It's about preparing you, training you, empowering you, guiding you, so that you can be prepared, so that you are able to share the gospel, point people to Christ. The Holy Spirit's only job is to point to God, is to point people to Jesus. That's it. That's why he's the guide. Who is he pointing to Jesus? You. So what is who is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? I mean, we said they.
But
here's the thing. If it was supposed to be something that other people just received, then one person would have gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit and everyone else would have been affected by it. Right? And that's what we saw in Scripture, like in the Old Testament and things like that, is Gideon was given the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everyone else was affected by it. In this instance, everyone in that room received baptism in the Holy Spirit individually. This is for you. This is about your faith. This is about growing you beyond who you are now, so you could become more than what you know you can now. If you've read the book of Acts, you know of situations like where two guys who were disciples of Jesus end up in front of the Sanhedrin, which is basically Congress at that time. A couple fishermen, one guy's a fisherman and one guy's another common guy, and these are not supposed to be very learned people. They're supposed to be the dumb ones around. But in reality, they're sitting there in front of the Congress at that time, and they're just getting them all awestruck. Like, who are these guys? I didn't know that this was going to be this way. These guys are like articulate. They know what they're saying. And they couldn't argue against them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in them, encouraging them, guiding them, and empowering them. So, you caught all that? All right. Today we're going to talk about how. You guys ready? We're going to start off in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 47. This is a long section of Scripture. So buckle up. Within the first several verses of chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come upon the people, and that's where we end up right here. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's where we're starting. And we go on. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came over in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean?" I think a lot of people feel that way when they hear someone speaking in tongues. They're like, what's going on? But, you know, you can translate that to being, what does this all mean? What's going on here? Some, however, made fun of them. That happens too. And they said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." It's too early to be drunk. "Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." You remember that? We talked about that. That passage from Joel. "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That, folks, is word for word from the book of Joel, from the mouth of a fisherman. You catching that? How many of y'all know that passage out of Joel by heart? That fisherman did. That's pretty cool. I'm just saying, that's pretty cool. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Again, fisherman, pulling out scripture. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I cannot tell you confidently that the patriarch David died. Sorry, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, and was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard of this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Now, baptized. This baptism is the baptism of repentance. This is the baptism, essentially, of water is what we're talking about. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See? Subsequent, separate. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's the story of the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there. And what happened? Looking back at this scripture, how does the baptism of the Holy Spirit happen?
First of all, you must repent.
Right. Repent. What else happened?
Believe.
What were they doing in the upper room? Do you remember when we were talking about that last week? What were they doing up there?
It was the day of Pentecost, yeah. Which was a festival.
Yeah.
and they were celebrating the festival of God.
Right. So it's kind of like Jewish Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They were all coming together, friends, family, all that stuff together, and they were waiting because Jesus had said, hey, wait. The guide is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. So they repented. They were together. They were waiting. But they weren't just sitting there just waiting around watching football. They were actively seeking the Lord. They were actively waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. God, please send the Holy Spirit. We want what you got, God. We're ready. Send them on. And then as we read last week, fire came in, the wind came in, the tongues of fire happened, and then they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they did what?
They prophesied and spoke in other languages.
They spoke in other tongues. So, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and how do we know that it has occurred?
By the speaking in other languages.
We just said it. How many times have we said that? Three times? Four times? You guys catching on? We got a theme going on here, don't we? Last week we talked about two phrases I want to bring back up. Episodic and normative. Say those with me. Episodic.
Episodic.
And normative.
Normative.
Okay. And those of you... Do you guys remember what episodic means?
A one-time occurrence.
One-time occurrence, yeah. Something that stands alone. What about normative?
Ongoing.
Ongoing. Happens the same way over and over again, right? Or it's a continuation of that. Something that is normally done over and over and over again. The sun is going to come up and it's going to go down. It's going to go up, it's going to go down. It may not come up and go down at the same exact time, or the same exact location in the sky, but you know it's going to come up and you know it's going to come down every single day. That is what's called normative. Episodic. What? Give me an example of episodic.
A tornado. It's not going to hit in the same location every time.
Sure. So let's get a little more specific here. Let's use an example. Several years ago, a tornado came through Conway and destroyed the parsonage of this church. I know a young man right now who's terrified that a tornado is going to hit the church again. You know who I'm talking about. But that was a single one-time event. Bad storm hit the church. Parsonage went bye-bye. Is that about right? You guys were here.
Yeah, we were. I was standing in front door.
What was that?
I was standing in the front door.
You're standing in the front door?
And I had a Toyota pickup, and I seen it pick it up, and it laid down.
Ooh.
Sitting out here.
Wow.
It happened during church, right? Sunday morning?
And there was an old lady, bless her heart, she didn't know through it all.
Wow.
And the ceiling started falling down. She did something.
But see, that's episodic. Is it incredible?
Yeah.
Is that an amazing... I mean, is that a big-time story?
Yeah.
Does it have a major effect on people's lives?
Little bit.
So episodic things do have an effect. But normative things have an effect, and they happen all the time. So this is what we're talking about, episodic and normative, things that are happening one time. So for instance, and I love Acts chapter 2 when we're talking about these two concepts, episodic and normative. Because we can look at, you know, what is episodic? Episodic in here is, you know, Peter got up there and gave a message and 3,000 people were saved and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was episodic. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think Peter is still going around reaching 3,000 people for Jesus. Our lives are episodic, folks. Episodic was they sold everything, and they gave to each other and made sure everyone had everything they needed. Someone once told me that they thought that the church was a commune or communist. I said, no. That's just something that they did at that time. It's like a ministry. Ministries are episodic. Now, some ministries have been around longer than others. Like, we always have a children's ministry. And most churches have children's ministries, right? Or women's ministries or whatever it was. But guess what? That had a start date. And at some point in time, those things will have an end date. Because yeah. Church is going to look different 100 years from now. You want to know how I know? Because it looks different than it did 100 years ago. Maybe church will look more like this, where we just sit down and talk with each other. Instead of someone standing up on a stage, or, well, I stand up here on the floor. I mean, that's different.
Could be back to more like what it was, where everyone would meet at someone's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Churches. House churches are a real thing.
When I was young, this church was full. It would be dying.
When you were young, this church was full every time.
Yeah, it was full.
Let's do it again.
So, what's happened?
What's happened?
We got different generations ever, and things change.
Yeah, things do change. Like an example, yesterday we had the Bears Den over there, right? And they tore up the Bears Den yesterday. I mean, it was a mess.
And Charlie took one step in there because we were like, "Let's go in there, doing communities." And I took and I grabbed her and said, "Mm-mm, we're going back outside."
I mean, one of the kids put a hole into one of the doors. What happened?
Somebody got a little too mad.
I'm just saying, even when I was a kid, that would not have been a thing.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Parenting changed.
Yes, ma'am.
Family dynamics have changed. How moms and dads operate with their kids has changed. The respect that kids have for authority has changed. A lot of these things have changed. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that generation after generation after generation is different. So, was the Bears Den completely torn up yesterday? Yep. But I tell you what, we had probably over 150 youth in there yesterday.
Yeah. I think it looked as bad as it could have.
It didn't look as bad as it could have.
When I saw the mess, I was like, they've been having fun in here.
Your laws has changed.
The laws have changed.
If you discipline your kids and children in a way that you think's all right, somebody else won't like it, mm-hmm. They turn you in and then you're in jail, you know? Yeah. So they took a lot of the parents'
authority
away, you know.
It's true. But that's episodic. Who knows what parenting is going to look like 50 years from now? 20 years from now? I'm looking at you two.
Yeah, door.
Who knows what that's going to look like, you know? Who knows what the law is going to allow us to get to do as parents at that point? But normative is different. Normative has a property to it that, honestly, I can't think of many things in the natural world that aren't directly created or controlled by God that are normative. Can you think of anything? So like I was talking about, the sun comes up, sun comes down, but mm-hmm. God set that in motion. The ocean waves come in and out. That was set in motion by the Lord.
Was a time factor.
The seasons. The motions of the planets.
Animals hibernate. Animals have babies at certain times during the year.
Yeah.
Flowers bloom.
What's that?
So the flowers bloom each year.
The flowers bloom each year. That's normative.
Yeah.
Life and death.
Life and death. You're going to be born, and you're going to die. It's normative.
All you can do is wait.
No. Try to do some stuff in between there.
Well, yeah.
All you can do is wait. Oh, we're just going to sit here and wait for the day.
Okay.
Some of y'all will be waiting more than others.
Like in 10 years.
Yeah.
I would hope more than 10 years.
All right.
500.
I want to teach you one more word. You guys ready?
Why not?
Sure.
This is a Greek word.
Yay.
We love Greek words. But you know what the only words we like more than Greek words? I think is the Hebrew words. Because
yes.
The Hebrew words, are a little more fun to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love whenever we do, at children's church, do, those with the Hebrew letters best.
So here we go. That's our new word. Can anyone pronounce that?
Glossolalia.
Glossolalia. Glossolalia.
Glossolalia.
Glossolalia.
Is it
Lalea or Lea? Glossolalia. Glossolalia. It depends on. It depends on if you put an H at the end. Yeah, Lea or Leah.
Okay.
So, glossolalia or glossolalia is a technical term, and this is actually what it means in Greek. It is a technical term often used for speaking in tongues. Okay? It comes from two Greek words. It's a compound word that comes from two Greek words, laleia or lalia, which means speech or speaking, and glossa. Guess what that word means?
Words.
No.
The tongue.
Oh. Glossolalia or glossolalia means speech and tongue. So speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues shows up several times in the New Testament. This word glossolalia shows up several times in the Book of Acts and several others. And we see here speaking in other tongues pops up in Acts 2:4, speaking in tongues. Acts 10:46, 19:6, 1 Corinthians 12:30, 14:5, 6:18, and 23. To speak in a tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, 4, and 13. To speak in the tongues of men and of angels. You've heard that one. 1 Corinthians 13:1. To speak in new tongues, Mark 16:17. Kinds of tongues, which is 1 Corinthians 12, 10, and 28. Tongues, just the word tongues. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, 14, 22. And a tongue, which is 1 Corinthians 14, 14, 19, and 26. You guys say that 10 times fast. That's a lot of tongues. Now, where do you see most of this at? Acts and what other book?
Corinthians.
First Corinthians. So we see it in the book of Acts. And what is the book of Acts? We talked a little bit about what the book of Acts is. Do you guys remember what kind of book the book of Acts is?
An action.
It's an action book. But what else? It's a narrative. A historical narrative. It's talking about things that have happened in the history of the church. It's giving you, it's like reading a history book. But with characters. So my son loves these books called the I Survive series.
Yeah.
You've heard about these things? So these poor kids, they survive these natural disasters and they write these books about it and things like that. And you get to the... And it's very interesting because he said, these books are always kind of annoying when you first start them. Because it talks a little about what's going to happen. And it talks a little bit more about what's going to happen. It's talking a little bit more about what's going to happen. It gets up to that climax and stops and starts all over again. And then towards the end of the book, it just shifts and they start going over that climax and then getting in conclusions, and finally they bring it all together at the end. It's how he explained it to me. I've not read the books, but that's how he explained it to me. You ever read those books?
When I was like a little kid, I read one, and it was the Titanic, and I only got to like the middle of it, and then I put it down because I didn't like it.
Well, maybe you should have read it all the way through. You probably would have liked it better because you got to get to the end.
They're different.
Okay.
I don't read them. My teachers do.
Your teachers do? That's awesome.
So this is, I've completed two of them.
Okay.
The Titanic and the Joplin tornado. Mm,
Joplin that's tornado.
It's on there. Kind of reminds me of the that's cool. In the Boys Life magazines for Cub Scouts, they had the stories of like them doing heroic deeds and stuff.
That's awesome.
Those ones are a little more shorter, but
yeah. So Acts is kind of like that. You get a story. You know, at first we're talking about the early church and the formation of the early church, and then Paul comes in and basically takes over the rest of the book. We learn about Paul and his ministry, essentially, is where that goes from there. And then Acts ends. And then Romans begins. But then something happens. After Romans happen, we get this letter. It's called an epistle, because it's written by an apostle. But an epistle is episodic. Mm-hmm. You catching that? Mm-hmm. This is an episodic writing. An epistle. It's a letter. And who is he writing to?
The Corinthians.
The Corinthians. Yeah. In this instance, he's talking to the Corinthians. And we have two of these books. One is written earlier than the other. Guess which one was later?
Second one.
Second Corinthians. They made that one easy for us, didn't they? What was the first one written? What was the first Corinthians book written?
The first Corinthians.
First Corinthians. So we have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and they go in that particular order. Guess what happens in 1 Corinthians?
The Holy Spirit. He is talking about how the Holy Spirit is your helper and your guide.
Mm-hmm. What else are some scriptures you can think of that are in 1 Corinthians that stand out to you?
The gifts.
The gifts of the Spirit. What else?
The love chapter.
The love chapter.
1 Corinthians 13.
The love chapter. Because, you know, you can't have spirit baptism without love. So we got 1 Corinthians. So, if Acts is telling us how this whole thing began, and how and setting up how the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a normative thing, which is what we established last week when we were talking about that, 1 Corinthians really goes into more depth, more of a depth of an information of how to practically apply the gift that we've all been given, which is the Holy Spirit. And if you are empowered and guided by heaven, and you're able to encourage beyond what you're physically and normally capable of doing, how much more can you love? How much infinitely. More can you experience those gifts?
Infinitely.
Infinitely. Because God is infinite, right? So, one of the things about speaking in tongues, though, is that some people think it's weird. You ever heard that before? You ever feel that way? Yeah? So, do you have an opinion on this, or have you experienced a time when speaking in tongues was described to you as weird? What are your opinions?
When I was a child, my dad always said the speaking in tongues was weird. Mm-hmm. It was from people that were strange to the world.
Mm-hmm. I think that speaking in tongues is so
criticized nowadays because it's been Hollywoodized. Everything, whenever you see anything of speaking in tongues, it's normally in a horror movie. And so it's castrated as evil.
What other experiences do you guys have? Or do you have an opinion on it?
I went to a church with my mom years ago at a different place. And we were standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, next to me, she started speaking in tongues. But I was, you know, afraid and a fear of what was wrong with mom. And so I was pretty scared at the time because I didn't know what that meant. So, but then later on, somebody explained to me what it was, and I was okay with it, you know. And she only did it one time.
See, that's I like that. I like that. Yeah. See, when we're young, some things that we as adults see as like normal everyday things are terrifying to kids, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
It's like,
right?
It's like the dark in the closet.
It's like the dark in the closet and the area underneath your bed.
Kelly's gonna go home tonight, be like, "What's underneath my bed?"
I'm not scared of underneath my bed. I just don't like the dark.
You're scared of my closet.
I still don't. There's times I still don't like the dark. When I'm here at night or something like that, I'll actually turn the sanctuary lights on, just because I got that window right there. And mm-hmm. I mean, this is the sanctuary. This is where we worship the Lord. But man, you get the wrong like glare, like reflection in here off of like something. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. It can be kind of trees rattling on the side.
Yeah. Stuff falling on the ceiling, on the roof.
Lots of noises. When we do youth camp, it's we always have a Holy Spirit night where the youth are given the opportunity to pray to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so we took some kids 2 years ago. And they weren't really accustomed to it, like they hadn't grown up with it. So they other than my daughters, they felt it was pretty weird. So, but they were still impacted by Jesus and God during the camp. Just thought that part was weird.
I mean, honestly, let's be perfectly honest here. If you look at tongues, speaking in tongues, just on the surface of it, no, and not looking at it in the way of knowing that the Holy Spirit is behind this, it's weird.
I was going to say, a lot of the other religions that do not talk about speaking in tongues, they truly don't understand it. And it wasn't until Rick and I got married and we were actually going to a Pentecostal church that I truly understood the speaking in tongues. It's not something that if you aren't raised around it, you can read it in the Bible, but you don't understand fully if you've never been taught anything about it. You don't understand it fully sometimes.
True.
Here's what psychology has gathered. Whenever you are young, whenever you are around something, you become used to it. Like me, I was growing up in a church. I'm still growing up in a church. So I've always viewed it as normal. But take it from somebody as, I have a friend who's only been in a church a few times in her life, and she's not really accustomed to it. And it's basically the same thing with speaking in tongues. You don't really understand it unless you've grown up around it.
Yeah.
So, you know, these churches that they don't speak in tongues, they don't understand it. And the pastors won't even try to explain it to you because they don't necessarily fully.
It's this concept of, we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
We're not going to touch that one. I mean, there's certain areas of the Bible that, honestly, I usually don't touch on them either. Like, I'm not going to. There's several things that I could go through in Leviticus and stuff like that, and I mean, that I probably won't touch on because, first of all, it's not normative, it's not, or it's covered by the blood of Jesus, And so now it's not even a requirement for us to live it out. So I probably won't hit on it because, you know, it's like here's the deal. I got you guys for 52 times a week. Or sorry, 50, 52. Wow. Sorry.
That's our new full-time job, guys.
I got you guys for 52 times a year. That's 52, I say 52 hours, but sometimes I go longer.
Sometimes.
I'll hear Lizzie and Abby complain. Like, why is it taking so long?
So let's say total between all the services, let's just figure an average of about 100 hours a year. Right? How much of an influence is that on your life compared to your parents or your spouse or your kids or their teachers? See, the thing is that we have so many things that are influencing us, so much about this world that influences us. What about your music? Or the videos that you guys watch, or the shows that you guys watch. I mean, y'all are funny because you're like, oh, 52 hours a week. But I've watched and looked at the screen time averages for the United States. You think me getting you for 52 hours a week is a lot? You go look and see how much time they're spending on TikTok. Or Instagram. Or any of these other things. I think it's a plain out miracle that we can spend an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours a week in a church and it have as much influence as it does.
That's one thing, Steve, you had said earlier that when you were younger, this church was full. Now church has almost become a secondary thought. Oh, I need to go do this. Check, I've done this. And that's all they do. When I was a child, it was nothing to go over to my grandparents' house and they'd be sitting reading their Bible and not stop because we came over. It would be nothing to have my mom and dad reading their Bible. Now, someone comes over, it's almost like you want to hide the Bible. A lot of people. And that's part of the new norm of society.
Well, and that's what can happen with speaking in tongues as well. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything else. If it doesn't become a normal part of your day, a normal part of your life, it could end up becoming a checkbox. And eventually, if you just start looking at your spiritual life as a checkbox to check every single day, one of these days you may look at it and go, well, I'll just put that one off till next week. I'll just put that one off till tomorrow. And I've every time we've started one of these messages, I've been saying this. We talk about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit is God. And God wants to have a relationship with you. And when your relationship becomes a checkbox, that's a chore, not a relationship. Do you schedule time with your kids? Do you schedule time with your friends? Do they become a checkbox in your life? What kind of a relationship is that? Now, I mean, you can schedule times on the calendar to get together and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, have you become so robotic in your relationships that that's how you treat people? Have you become so robotic in your relationship with God that that's how you treat Him? Do you want others to treat you that way? AI may be taking over the world, but it shouldn't be taking over our relationships. AI is another topic. We might have another roundtable about that. You never know. Because let's move on. Let's talk about. So we're talking about speaking in tongues now. Specifically, I want to talk additionally about initial physical evidence. This is something that the Assemblies of God and a lot of other Pentecostal churches out there really hit on. Is this initial physical evidence? Okay, and a lot of people disagree on this, I get their points. I disagree with them, personally. But at the same time, I'm going to teach you what I know out of the Scripture. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says. And then you get to live your own life. I am not responsible for your faith. I'm responsible to teach you and guide you. You know, pastors are called shepherds, right? Yep. The sheep can go wherever they want in the field. My job is just to make sure you don't jump off a cliff or run off somewhere and we can't find you. My job is to help the chief shepherd, the head shepherd. But your relationship with God is yours. So, initial physical evidence. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, we're talking about the folks that are at Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius is a Roman living in Judea. He's a Gentile. Okay? And Peter goes to Cornelius' house kind of begrudgingly. He didn't really want to go, but he went. At least he didn't end up in a fish on the way there, like Jonah. He went there, and he shared the gospel with these folks, and they accepted Christ into their life, so they're baptized in Jesus Christ. And then they're praying, and as they're praying and seeking God, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues. So, they're speaking in tongues, and Peter says something interesting. He says, well, I guess we can't argue that they can be baptized in water because God's already accepted them and they're speaking in tongues, so they've received a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I guess that argument's over with, whether or not we can accept Gentiles as Christians. God answered that one for us, right? Evidence has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So, what are your thoughts about speaking in tongues being the initial physical evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit?
It takes away the argument that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
You're looking at me like
I'm looking at everybody. Did anybody else have thoughts on this one? What are your thoughts about speaking in tongues being the initial physical evidence? What is evidence?
Proof.
Proof. Okay. Now, is this that when we're looking at evidence? There's two kinds of evidence that I can think of off the top of my head. There's hard evidence. Hard evidence would be like, I've witnessed you doing this, and I had a video camera taking a video of it, and you have something on your hands to prove that you've done it. So all of these things together produce the evidence to prove that something is true. In our legal system, unlike the legal system at this time or a lot of places in this world, when you go to court, you're supposed to be considered innocent until proven guilty. So the burden of proof is on who?
The prosecutor.
The prosecutor. The prosecutor has to prove that you did something. Now, they do that by presenting
evidence.
When some piece of evidence is not directly connected or doesn't fully prove guilt, what do we call that?
circumstantial.
Circumstantial evidence. So what would be some circumstantial evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Ah, that's a toughie.
Yeah. Some of the fruits of the Spirit tie into the circumstantial evidence, right, because they're subsequent to that initial baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'm going to tap into our kids director over here. What are the fruits of the Spirit?
Love, joy.
Oh, over here. Go, Charlie.
Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness, and gratefulness.
Self-control.
Gentleness.
Yeah,
blame Abby for teaching. Blame Abby and Elizabeth for teaching her the song.
Oh, you got the song. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay. Now, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, can you have patience?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're saved.
If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you have patience?
Yeah.
About self-control?
Same. Yeah.
Both.
About love?
You do have love.
About joy?
Yeah.
Can you have joy in your life and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes.
So you can have all the fruits of the Spirit exhibiting in your life, and it's all circumstantial evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's only one thing normative in Scripture that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues. It's not even the gift of speaking in tongues. It's not even the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. It's the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. Because here's the reality. If you've never had that initial physical evidence, you probably aren't practicing the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Because that's just weird. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't go driving around if you've never driven before.
Well.
Charlie, no ideas.
Yeah, don't start. Bad habit.
You get my point, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm close enough to 15.
You'll get there.
I could pass.
Well, Abby can drive you around.
Yeah, Abby's my chauffeur now. Right?
She's your chauffeur now?
Yeah.
Nice.
But she's a taxi now.
Oh.
So here's the deal. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, not only are they available to you, they're more available to you. Mm-hmm. Can you be a prophet and not be... Can you be a prophet and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Hmm. Sure. What is a prophet?
Someone who makes statements about things to come.
Someone who makes statements about things that are to come, that are, and I would add, that are true,
yeah,
or will happen. Do mediums do that?
Yes.
They sometimes false prophesy.
It's not always false.
No, yes, it is.
Sometimes the lie is the deception. Look, if psychics weren't right every once in a while, no one would believe in them.
Yeah.
I love this phrase. This has come into my head so many times this week. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Or the old wives' tales, mm-hmm, about it be predicting a boy or a girl, like if this will spin way. And I'm like, well, you have a 50-50 chance anyway. So it's going to be right half
plus,
the time.
All you can do is wait. You could just wait a few minutes in the few months and the doctors will tell you.
That's not always right either, although.
Yeah. Charlie was supposed to be a boy. That's what the doctor said.
Well, you're not. The only way to set apart definitively that someone has been baptized in the Holy Spirit according to scripture, according to proof, according to even your logical brain, is to have something that literally separates out the two. And it's got to be something that can be noticed. Doesn't it? Because if it was some subtle thing, we wouldn't even think about it twice. But I'm telling you right now, someone comes up and is speaking in tongues, you're going, yep, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Which leads me to my next question. How do you know that someone speaking in tongues is genuine? Have you ever met someone who was speaking in tongues? And you go, something not right about that. Because that exists.
There's discernment from the Holy Spirit that this is genuine or this is not.
There's discernment. You know, one of the things in the Bible that Jesus talks about is judgment. You know, what does Christ say about judgment? Do you guys remember? Judge not unless... Basically, this is what this scripture means. Judge not unless you're ready to be judged.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're covered by grace, you're living the right way, or you're heading in that direction, and something in your spirit is telling you that there's something wrong about this, and you see evidence of wrongdoing in this person's life, and you walk up to them and you say, brother, sister, I'm seeing this in your life. And then they get defensive saying, you can't judge me. Yes, I can. Because God gave me two eyeballs and two ears. And I can hear what's coming out your voice, and I can see what's coming from your actions. And you may get into this room and start talking in tongues, but you're not speaking in tongues. I guarantee you there are fakers in the church. Long time there's been fakers in the church. That's when that circumstantial evidence comes into play. It's not unimportant. The evidence proving that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. But I'm going to tell you right now, if their life doesn't reflect it, I'd question it. Because what's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Power.
Power? What else?
Encouragement.
Encouragement.
Comfort.
Comfort.
Greater discernment.
Greater discernment. Guidance. So let's say someone's been speaking in tongues and all of a sudden they also have the gift of interpreting tongues, which is a gift of the Spirit. And they interpret tongues and they say, and they claim to interpret tongues and they go, Joe Snuffy, you're sleeping with your wife and we all know it.
Sleeping with your wife.
Well, you're sleeping with the other man's wife, and we all know. Sorry! It's been a long week. They're sleeping with their wife. They're good to go. No, you're sleeping with this. You're sleeping with another man's wife. And we all know it. God has highlighted this to me. And Joe Snuffy goes, no, I'm not. Is that encouraging? It's a lie.
Slanderous.
It's yeah. Slanderous.
It's not appropriate to do in that if you're in a big group either.
It's also terrible if you're just fresh. You're brand new.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. So there are people out there that speak in tongues that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you tell the difference?
The fruit.
The fruit. What is the fruit?
Okay. peace, joy, love, self-control.
I can see her lips moving. She's singing the song. Go ahead, Charlie. What's it? What are they?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gratefulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Boom! You got it.
I don't remember things.
It's okay. Guess what?
Bang my head.
If you find someone speaking in tongues and they're living that out, you got someone who's genuine. And guess what? The people in this world, they're not looking for a bunch of people that can make noise out their mouth and speak tongues and all that stuff, which is awesome, it's wonderful, it's great, but guess what? It's for you, it's not for them. What the people in this world are looking for is the genuineness of the people in this church and every other church. Can you be patient with people who are transsexual? Can you be kind to them? Can you be gentle to someone that gives you a bad look? Can you have self-control when someone cuts you off on the interstate?
I haven't experienced that yet.
Can you have self-control when someone brings up drama?
Yay.
That... Oh...
We're working on it. Nothing but love there, I'm just saying.
Alright. Call me out.
The Holy Spirit is all about worshiping God, connecting people to God, just as the Holy Spirit does that. Do you guys catch all that? So what questions do you guys have? This is a good opportunity for anyone who's got any questions about the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, initial physical evidence. Because next week we come back, Homer's going to be here. He's going to be preaching for us. We're back to normal again.
No more round table.
No more round table. Maybe we might pop it back in another time sometime. This is kind of fun.
It is.
Could you see everybody's faces?
I kind of like it. But what questions do you guys have? Anybody?
Charlie, you ask a lot of questions.
Do you have any questions, Charlie?
No.
No? Man, I'm a good preacher then. I must have hit it all.
Probably.
So, let me ask you this question. Do you believe, and let's do this. Everyone close your eyes. Don't fall asleep on me. If you believe that speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, nod your head. Okay, y'all can open your eyes now. So, here's what I want to do. For anyone not convinced, and you want to know more, talk to me. Maybe you're not comfortable talking about it here, in front of everybody, and that's okay. But if you want to know more, come talk to me about it. So here's the deal. We now have who, what, where, when, why, and how. We ask the Lord for it, and we know that it's true because of tongues. That's how.
I have a question.
Yep.
How is having the baptism of the Holy Spirit different from having the gift of tongues? Spiritual gift of tongues.
You're talking about the initial physical evidence and the gift of tongues? Mm-hmm. So the initial physical evidence is something that happens once in a person's life. Now, what often happens is, what happens in that is you do have your spiritual language. And that's a language that you can have with God at any time. It's essentially something that only taps into your spirit. And I'll be honest with you, you may be asking like, well, I don't even know what I'm saying. Well, that's not the point. The point is the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Because what we pray matters. And so when that happens, when you're in your prayer closet is what we used to call it, when you're alone praying, and you pray in tongues, you're edified, you're built up, you're encouraged, you're being given guidance by the Holy Spirit through that. Now the gift of tongues is different. The gift of tongues is something that is done publicly. But there's a rule. And the Bible makes this very clear. If you have the gift of tongues and you give a message in tongues in a public place, like church service, there has to be interpretation. Because that's another gift of the Spirit, is the gift of interpretation. And that is a big telltale gauge on whether someone is actually giving a message. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to give a message to be given in tongues unless there is an interpretation as well.
You do not have to be the person who spoke in tongues to have the interpretation.
And I would actually argue that in 99.999% of the cases, that's how it is anyway. Because usually what you do see, and this is not normative, this is mostly episodic, but it definitely helps make you feel more comfortable with the concept of it, is that one person speaks in tongue and one person interprets.
See, then you know for sure. Unless they had a conference before that they can't just make it up. You know.
But if someone else doesn't interpret it, they need to interpret it themselves.
Right? That or someone needs to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Needs to tap into it. But I'll be honest with you, I have been in church services before where someone has started to speak out a prophetic message, and the pastor has gone, "Sister, that is not correct, and you need to stop." Calls them out from the stage, and that can put a little bit of fear in you. Like, oh, I got this message, and I'm thinking God wants me to give it. I've been there. Believe me, I've been there. It is when you're new to this, it's nerve-wracking. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, are you going to be obedient or not? That's the question. I don't know if I want to be obedient to this, because that might make me look weird. And what if the pastor's like, oh, I got you, because you're not actually getting the message from God? Well, that's a faith question on your part. Because who's the relationship between? You and him. So if God gives you a message in tongues to give, you give it. And you're like, well, what if nobody interprets it? Well, let me rephrase that. If God gives you a message in tongues, you give it. Because guess what? There's someone that's got that interpretation. And they can't use their gift of interpretation unless there's something to interpret. Right?
It's like what we say at school. Speak your truth.
Well, the reality of that is speak the truth.
Yeah.
There's no plurality of truth.
Yeah, I know.
Speak the truth. Goes the same way with words of knowledge or words of prophecy. And I think sometimes we overshadow some of these gifts of the Spirit, like administration. I have the gift of administration. Yeah, that's a spiritual gift. Did you know that? Some people got it, some people don't. What if speaking in tongues was as what if the gift of speaking in tongues was as easy for us to do as it is to fill out paperwork? Because it's supposed to be that simple. Administering or managing or leading. Some folks have it, some folks don't. Some folks are like, yes, make me the manager. I'm all over that. And some people are like, if I'm ever the manager, we're all going to die. I won't point out who I think that is. I love you.
What?
No, that was two different statements.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I love you so much. We all have our gifts. So we have our how. We've gone through the who, what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. We've talked about several different examples out of the book of Acts. We've talked about a bunch of questions, and we've got some answers. Chapter 2 is our scripture from last week, and we kind of tied all of that up into a nice little bow. We know about Cornelius. We've talked through a bunch of different other stories in Acts. But you, I mean, I'd love to get in, if you want to, get into 1 Corinthians and see how the practicality of all this works out. How do you live out the baptism in the Holy Spirit? What do you do now? Oh, wait. Guess what? Someone is coming to preach next week, and they're going to be talking about that. Awesome. I get to sit and listen to that.
Yay!
I'm excited.
You just get to chillax.
Yes.
I see you sitting in like your old man chair, just being, with your headphones on, being like.
Should I bring a rocking chair in here? We got one in the nursery. Yeah. I should bring a rocking chair in here.
You know what else you should bring? You know, one of those long funnel things that you stick in your ear so you can hear shows. Bring that.
No. Okay.
Have you seen cartoons?
He's not that age yet.
Oh.
Thank you, Charlie.
If anyone is interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to, first of all, be praying about it. You need to prepare your heart. You have to repent. You have to be saved. So if you're saved, are you ready for the next step? Are you ready to explore baptism in the Holy Spirit? And I'd be more than willing to sit down with you and talk you through it. Pray with you. And we'll see where the Spirit takes it from there. Because the reality is, it's like any other gift. It's up to the giver to give it. You don't take a gift. It's given to you. Ask Simon the sorcerer. You can't even pay for it. That's in Acts 2. You should read that. He wanted to buy the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he saw the power that it gave. He wanted that power. I want to have the power to encourage and all this. It was probably, and honestly, the more I read about Simon the Sorcerer, I really think he was trying to come from a good place. He was just really, really confused. You can't buy it. There's no amount of money you could put in that offering bucket that's going to get you the Holy Spirit. It's all about relationship. And honestly, there's nothing you can give God that He doesn't have already. It's a gift that He wants to give you. And it's free. Why would you pay for something that's free, y'all? Just saying. I'm not asking for $19.95 or anything like that. You don't need to call into my call center and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. It's not going to be like that. I'm a pastor. I'm here to help guide you and show you the way that God would want you to go, because it's right there. And that's all I'm going to tell you. This is my fence. This is the pasture for the pastor. This is the pasture for the sheep. The Bible. You don't go beyond it. The Holy Spirit's not going to go beyond it. So why in the world would anyone think that they should? If God's not going to do it, why should we? Does that make sense? Let's close in prayer real quick. I'm going to let you guys go, and it is 12:15.
It's a record.
It's not a record, but it's pretty close.
What time do we normally have?
12:15, 12:30-ish. 12:15. Sometimes 5. 1.
Yeah.
Well, Lord God, I pray for everyone here today. I thank you that we've had this opportunity to discuss and get to know you more. I pray that you would be present in our lives. Lord God, that you would be around us and with us constantly, God. Help us to hear you, to hear your direction. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room that's baptized in the Holy Spirit already would seek new, refreshing, refilling, God. That they would be ready to address everything that's going to come at them this week. That they could be prepared for it, so that they can approach life with joy, peace, patience, and all the other ones that Charlie knows.
She knows a lot.
She knows a lot. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everyone in this room and everyone that's hearing my voice, that the Holy Spirit is stirring something in their heart. I pray that they would listen. I pray that they would repent of their sins. I pray that they would make a dedication to get closer to you. And my hope is that you will lead them into a place where they're ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, where they're ready to receive the gifts that you have, God. Our community, our world, is just waiting on the church to do what God has already commanded us to do. Lord, our world didn't get here out of nothing. Our community didn't get here out of nothing. The teenagers in our community didn't get to this point out of nothing. We are fighting demonic forces. We are fighting the enemy. And Lord, I pray that we can be used by you. Give us the tools. Give us the skills. Give us what we need in order to reach our friends and our family and our acquaintances and our classmates and our coworkers and our kids. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all.
Now we got to say bye to Blue.
Now we have to say goodbye to Blue. Everyone say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.